hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Who's you, everybody? My name is Peggy Flanagan. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
At the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena. On today's show, we have Winona LaDuke, Ruth Buffalo, Nancy Bolio, also Wendy Pilot, Jamie Edwards, Nicole Rogers, and Uncle Curtis. Hey, let's start out with our weekly update from House Representative Mary Kunish Podine.
Hey, Metakiape, I'm Peto Kinle Shantewashte. It is April 17th, and this is Representative Mary Kunish Podine, candidate for the Senate in District 41. It's been a busy week again, as it seems to be every week. We at the legislature are not meeting at the Capitol, but we are doing a lot of work in our homes and off-site through Zoom conferencing and telephone calls. I spend pretty much my whole day on conferences and phone calls. We're still trying to address all the needs for COVID-19 issues and all the other things that need to get done by the end of our session. And I thought I would share with you a real success that we had this past Wednesday. We were able to pass the Alex Smith insulin bill. It was a hard-fought piece of legislation. But we finally did it. It was after a young man died. Alex Smith is his name. He died from lack of insulin. He's a diabetic. And when Alec was just 26 years old, he was no longer covered by his parents' health insurance. And he didn't have enough money in his bank account to cover his next prescription for insulin and supplies. And at that time, it was costing him close to $1,300 a month. His salary at the time was really only $35,000. And that was, surprisingly enough, too much to qualify for our medical assistance. But it wasn't enough to allow him to find a health insurance policy on the individual market that he could afford. So he was going without insurance at the time. And what happened is that he didn't have enough money in his account. Unfortunately, the price of insulin, some of you might know this, jumped 585% in the last 14 years. So a vial of insulin that our grandparents used, that our parents used, that people have used, I believe it cost maybe $30 to produce, all of a sudden went 585% higher. And that means for many people, 1 month supply jumped from about $170 to $1,400. And there just isn't any justification for the fact that that increase happened, because it's the same product, it's the same manufacturing process. The manufacturer didn't invest in research and development, because it's the same thing that, that we have used for centuries and centuries. And though the manufacturer might say there was a slight change in its formula, it certainly did not warrant that kind of an increase. So the young man, Alec, was rationing out his insulin and died because he didn't have the life-saving insulin that he needed. And so this week we passed a low-cost emergency insulin bill that we have been working on for over a year. It's really a great success for the legislature. We took it up last year and we debated it and we talked about it. But it did take a year, and sometimes, unfortunately, that happens. It takes us a while to get things done. But we were successful. The legislation will provide a safety net for roughly 10.5% of Minnesotans. That's more than 466% people who have diabetes. And those diabetics, you know, need to get a 30-day supply of insulin, and the legislation mandates that they make it affordable. Manufacturers have to offer continuing patients assistance programs. Families or individuals who are only eligible for this program have to meet the federal poverty guidelines. And it also only allows folks to qualify for emergency insulin once a year. So let's say you go on vacation and you realize that you have forgotten your insulin, or you've broken the vial, or you don't have what you need and you are out of your distance, you're able to apply for it. The biggest dispute around this insulin issue was around the manufacturers Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk and Sanofi, and we wanted them to cover the cost of the insulin. But we were able to get this assistance passed, and it's just been a really fabulous success. And I know that, and you know that, our Native Americans are very high diabetic patients. So our American Indians and Alaska Natives have probably the highest chance of having diabetes than any other group in the United States. Some of the facts that I found is that compared to whites, who only have 8% diabetes, Asian Americans have 9%. Hispanic have 13%, and blacks as well. And our Native American population has about 16% diabetics. And most of those often will result in kidney failure. But from what I understand, that has dropped significantly in the past maybe 7 years or so. Diabetes is, of course, the leading cause of kidney failure, and it's a very costly condition that will eventually require dialysis or kidney transplant for survival. In my family, on my mom's side, the American Indian side, Lakota, diabetes kind of runs rampant, especially in the generation, my mom's generation. My mom and her sisters all had it, and they, of course, had complications due to the diabetes. I have a cousin, a first cousin, who became diabetic in his early teens, and then had a daughter that was diabetic from a very early age. And so through really good attention to their food intake and their exercise, they have been able to manage it. But we know that the kidney failure from diabetes is highest among American Indians. And it costs quite a bit of money in order to address it. I think about $82,000, and that was a couple of years ago. And so what can you do? What can our American Indian, Native American folks do in order to either manage their diabetes well or, you know, prevent it from happening? Well, of course, we know that diet is a big part of it. We need to make sure that we are reducing our sodium, especially, and especially in the kids, because from what I understand, 9 in 10 children in the United States eat way more sodium than is recommended. And about 1 in 9 children have raised blood pressure. So that's starting at a very young age. And of course, that gives them that risk factor for heart disease and stroke. And so it is so important that we are lowering the sodium, not just in our diets, our adult diets, but also for the children. Small changes can make a really big difference. But when you're talking to your doctor about caring for your diabetes or prevention, there's a few easy things that you can do. When you go to your doctor, of course, ask for that blood test to be checked. And if you're not feeling well, ask for the to be tested for kidney disease. Make sure that they are checking your blood pressure and your blood sugar regularly. I'm sure a lot of us do that also. And if you are having a problem with your insulin, or if you're having a problem getting it or taking your medicines, be sure to talk to your healthcare provider for that. We mentioned the reducing your salt intake. So much of the food that we eat these days, especially the processed food and restaurant food, has an incredible amount of sodium. And our bodies only need a really small amount of sodium to work properly. We need some, but not massive amounts. And too much sodium is definitely bad for our health. So be attentive. Be careful around your sodium intake, because it does increase your blood pressure, puts you at risk for heart disease and stroke. And of course, we want to keep everybody just as healthy as we can in order to have healthy communities and healthy families. We want our children to be around and be healthy so that they are propagating and creating those next 7 generations that we always talk about. This COVID virus has made a lot of people stop and think about some of the habits that they've had, some of the eating habits and lifestyle. Not only do we need to be careful with our hand washing and who we are coming in contact with, but it's also how we're loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves. Our families depend on it, our communities depend on it, and we depend on you to do that. So that was my spiel today. We did have some good success in the legislature with the Alex Smith emergency insulin bill and this discussion about how to take care of ourselves. So enjoy this beautiful weekend that we are about to have. We go from snow to sunshine. Spring is right here. Things will be popping. And let's make sure that we're getting out and getting that fresh air and exercise that we need on top of everything else. So you take care. I'll be back next week. Wopula Tonka.
Kinigigi Mary, for all you do for us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Up next, Winona LaDuke.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour free service.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm Robert Pilot. Every week we are so happy and honored and thrilled to have Winona LaDuc of Honor the Earth on. Winona, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Robert. Bonjour. Nice to see you. Happy New Year. The beginning of the new year again for the Anishinaabe. I suppose you guys, too.
Yeah.
The maple syrup harvest. Happy New Year.
That's right. A lot going on up there, KXL. Can you fill us in? What's going on?
Right. Okay. Well, first, let's just say Mother Earth's getting a breath.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take a breath with Mother Earth, she's really appreciating the decline in daily fossil fuel use and contamination,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath with our mother. And, you know, for those, a lot of us in the woods, we're doing great, you know, getting to be the people we're intended to be and out here in the North Woods. And, you know, things are not going so well for the oil companies. You know, I know that, you know, I always say that misery enjoys company. And, you know, one pipeline after another is not doing well. So, you know, all thinking that they had it, you know, South Dakota, that super enlightened state, decides they're going to let in a bunch of man camps to start up the KXL to be with the program. And then the skids, that'd be a federal court decision that said that there was an illegal issuing of the permits by the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that construction permit obtained by the Army Corps for a section of the KXL pipeline was invalid on the grounds that it allowed the construction that could be potentially harmful to the environment. Now, according to that ruling, that's going to throw a lot of things out for a while. You know, it's not clear how long that will be the case, but, you know, this is not a good thing for the KXL team because, you know, we're in this port. We've talked about this, Robert. It's like, mm-hmm. oil is declining,
right.
You know, and maybe it's just bad luck because KXL is in such bad shape, TransCanada, that, you know, because they also got that horrible battle going up there with the Gibson with Thornton. That's them too.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
That's TransCanada. That's the same company. The Coastal GasLink pipeline is theirs. And so they got this like brutal battle in the north. And so I think that the Canadian government, they put in $1 billion or so to bankroll this project. And that seems to be like the kiss of bad luck. So federal courts put that on the skids. We have no idea, you know, when the legal wranglings and process, you know, could be solved. It could take quite a while. And, you know, in the meantime, Enbridge is hoping that they can be the last tar sands pipeline. And so, you know, with the same kind of arrogance that South Dakota had, that allowed, you know, thought that it was safe to allow man camps into the state. And I just want to point out that South Dakota now has the hot spot of COVID-19 nationally, with their Smithfield, their pork processing plant, right? Yeah. In Sioux Falls. But, you know, they thought it was all okay. Well, Hit Ridge wants to bring 4,200 people to northern Minnesota. And it's not across the state. It's across some rural counties. Most of them are up near reservations. And so Enbridge has really been trying to get things going. I'm sure they're right down there at the Capitol there on Friday, you know, with their team. They probably, did they have their Stop Line 3 shirts too? Some of those guys?
I don't know.
Or no, Pro Line 3, that Minnesotans for Line 3?
I always thought that Minnesota was like a northern state during the Civil War, but I saw some Confederate flags. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, I'm finishing this book, Robert. It's been kind of great writing, but it's hard writing. You know, sometimes like Louise Erdrich, I love that woman, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, so Louise gets to write fiction. And when you write fiction, you can make it up and it ends when you want it to end. But jeepers, man, being a journalist and writing a report on the pipeline battle and the COVID-19, it's like something every day. So
exactly.
It's moving quickly. It's moving quickly. And you know what I want to say is I had this real great conversation a few days ago with a couple of my cool pals. One cool pal is Dune Lankard, an EAC guy fighting the, you know, well, his territory was devastated by the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Mm. Another cool cat I talked to was Sarah James from the Gwich'in, fighting to protect the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge her whole darn life, 30 years fighting to keep her Gwich'in territory clean and free of oil companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her whole life, man. And we're all phoned together and we're all old cats. And Dune says, hey, maybe we'll just outlive our enemies. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not looking too good for the oil companies this day, so maybe this week, not so good. But anyway, that's my little update. The sap is going good. You know, the Chilton's got quite a bit of sugar and sap being and syrup being produced up here in Whiter.
Yeah. Hey, just giving a shout out to Ruth Buffalo is going to be up next. We all are thinking good thoughts and feelings for Ruth.
Yeah. Right. That is right. Heart out to Ruth and just stay strong. You know, we're so sorry that the state of North Dakota has such poor manners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that there's just, you know, the governor should step up and say, you know, y'all just leave Ruth alone. You know, the governor should just do that and be a gentleman. You know, I know he thinks of himself that way, and now be the time, you know. You don't want to be known as Governor Janklo. You know, and it's a good governor. You know, the last one wasn't. So, but Ruth, heart out to you, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'll be on again this Sunday on Native Roots Radio, American Indian Movement. We're Still Here Symposium. There's a lot of great guests going to be on. And, of course, you.
Yeah, giving my best update. Shale oil producers file for bankruptcy. First one, 240,000 oil-related jobs could be lost in the U.S. Time for the Green New Deal, team. Time for the Green New Deal.
That's right. That's right. So, I go ahead.
All right. We will visit with you on Sunday.
Yep, that's great. So, Peeny Geegee, thank you for all you do, and take it slow with that the sugar up there, okay? And thank you so
much. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
You know, one day I'm going to be known as Sugar Mama. That's what I feel like.
Awesome. That was Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth. Peeny Geegee for being on.
Me, Glitch. Bye, then.
Oh, who? You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turner. Today's going to be mostly sunny, with a high near 62. Well, tonight's mostly cloudy, low around 34. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high near 51. Monday, partly sunny, with a high near 60. And Tuesday, sunny, with a high near 55. Thank you for all of the listeners that have supported by becoming members. Thank you for all the kind notes, calls, and comments. Our community of listeners is inspiring to all of us at AM 950. We are committed to getting through this and supporting our community. To see how you can help, go to am950radio.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Sanders, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hare, which means distant thunder. I love that name my Dega, my uncle, gave me. Distant Thunder is my name. I just went on a tangent there, but I'm really happy, as always, to have Ruth Buffalo, North Dakota State House Rep, on the phone. And Ruth, you've had interesting last few days. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so we have this like Indian on butter here, and I think people are throwing stones at you. What's going on with that?
I've been receiving nonstop hate mail and messages and phone calls. So it's been interesting. It's unfortunate. But it's happening.
We talked a little bit before you came on, and you were like misquoted, and you were trying to steer them in a different direction for a quote about this.
Right. So I was contacted by a local reporter, and he had said, hey, I'm doing a story that I need a Native perspective on. And then I said, okay. And then he goes into Land O'Lakes, began changing its image in February. Now in Horbacher's, one tub of butter no longer has the quote native maiden end quote on it. And then goes on to kind of express his views on it. And he said, do you feel like this is a good thing for the company to do? And if so, why? And this is all via Facebook Messenger. And so I said, I think specifically to the tribes, and I think specifically speaking to the tribes in Minnesota would be good. I said, it's kind of like Elizabeth Warren's claim of being Cherokee. I'm not from that tribe and would be doing a disservice to speak on behalf of them. Even though these issues affect all of us as a whole, feel good to find someone from specific tribes out of respect. But there.
Hmm. Yeah. And so you were misquoted though too. He ran the sentence backwards or something. I just want to go out there on record as I'm glad they got rid of that racist woman. I'm in the American Indian Movement here in St. Paul chapter. I'm the head of the St. Paul chapter, and we protest the Washington team and the Cleveland team and the Buffalo team because of the disrespect and sexualizing this Native American and this white, it looked like a white person that was dressed for Halloween, if you ask me. And so I will take the heat and take it away from you because that's my opinion.
Right. And that's the thing is that this reporter, local reporter here in Fargo was asking, you know, for my opinion on it or a perspective, native perspective on it. In the article that came out in the Inforum here in Fargo, I reread that paragraph a few times and trying to understand the author's stance, you know, but it seemed as though the words racist imagery, that those words were coming from me. You know, it was a little bit, it was misleading. It said something like Native people view this image as Native people say this is racist imagery or something to that effect. And then in the next space went into the quotation marks of my quote. Mm-hmm. So it's a little misleading. Anyway, I tried to reread it. I reread it a few times and trying to get the reporter's perspective, but it just didn't, either way I was getting.
Right. Well, lazy reporting does that. And I think, if they were thoughtful and careful about that, they would have quoted you correctly. And that's why it's hard, but I know all politicians I see whenever they get interviewed, they have somebody right behind them with another recording device recording the same thing because they don't want to be misquoted. And well, let's move on. It was a misquote, and you speak for your nation, and we speak here, right. And I'll speak for all nations right now and say that it's sexist and demeaning to women.
Right. Well, to kind of add on to that, I mean, that's just kind of protocol. I mean, even when I do the different speaking engagements or speaking to students at higher education institutions, even within different progressive circles, when I'm speaking, I'll say almost like a disclaimer, like, you know, what I'm sharing is from my perspective. In my lived experiences as an Indigenous woman, as a Hidatsa woman, and that I cannot speak on behalf of all of the 500 different tribal nations, you know, and that it's unfair to expect that from one person, you know. But oftentimes that happens where, you know, I grew up, you know, with that, you know, being the only Native in the class or being the only Native in college in the class, and well, what's your perspective, Ruth? You know, like you're supposed to have, you know, Pandora's box to all the answers for Indian country, you know.
Well, I think that's how they got Manhattan, wasn't it? Gave one Indian a bag of silver and took the island of Manhattan in New York. Paid one Indian and nobody else got a say.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just kind of tough to almost in a sense have that all the work that you've been doing to be almost ripped away in a second by false information, and then the attacks are just rampant. But I know it comes with the territory of being a politician. I'm not looking for sympathy, but I am definitely learning my lessons dealing with reporters who I thought I could trust too, you know. So right. He did go back and correct that sentence.
Too late.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll. I think one of the things when it comes to publicity, publicity is publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. So it's great for me, I think, to get your name out there more. And You know, we've been watching you in Minnesota and the five-state area, the great things that you're doing, and now it's a chance for the country to see who Ruth Buffalo is. So I'm looking at it as a positive thing, and you're getting some publicity, and they're going to be seeing what you do for a native country.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. hard to take, but I mean,
yeah, that's easy for me to say, not, right?
Right. I mean, it's definitely not for publicity or for attention, you know. And you know, I am a mother. I have two daughters, and I'm a big sister too. So I mean, I often take on the role of protecting others, and I will continue to do that. So
yeah. So let's move on from that. Let's talk about voting. How important voting is, and what's happening in North Dakota with that.
Right. So we still have the executive order that Governor Burgum of North Dakota put forward. I also want to remind people that the voting day in June, you know, it's the primary, but it's also kind of like the be-all, end-all voting day for local elections, such as school board, city commission, county commission. And so people need to go to North Dakota Secretary of State's website, and there's information on there. Also, you know, requesting a ballot from our Cass County Commission auditor's office too. So kind of a few steps to do, but it can all be done online. So just really trying to stress the importance of making sure people know to request their ballots ahead of time and get that out of the way.
Right. And so if you don't have the internet, what can you do? Can you get help at the libraries or can you make a phone call and get help?
Yes. Yep. You can make a phone call to the county auditor's office. I'm trying to pull that up right now. at 701-241-5600. In Fargo, and that's for the Cass County Auditor's Office, and they can help them help connect people to getting their ballot for the June primary. And the June primary is a big voting day for city commission, county commission, and school board elections.
Which is very important, because we all know that we can't do much until the November election, but we can do things locally, and we need to vote locally. And can you give that number one more time?
Yep. The Cass County Auditor's phone number is 701-241-5600.
And then we also want to bring up the fact that to be counting the census keep the distance away, things that we're all doing and I know you're doing.
Right. Yep. There's a lot of things happening again online, but also, if you haven't filled your census form out online, you should have also received something in the mail to fill out too. So they're really trying to make sure they reach people through different mediums, you know, through online and through postal mail service.
Yeah, that's excellent. So, hey, thank you for spending some time with us and explaining what happened and I know you as a respectful Native woman and a warrior, and you would never do anything disrespectful. So I really appreciate you explaining to our audience what happened.
Thank you. Mazagat odds. I appreciate it.
Ahoo. That was Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota State Representative, and this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hare. Every week we have an awesome update from Nancy Bolio up in Bemidji 350, which is a leg of MN 350. Nancy, thanks for being on, as always. Ahoo.
Well, again, thanks for having me, and just want to remind people that we're here, and we're still here, and I want to take today and talk about some of the current times we're living in, and COVID-19 is bringing a lot of hardship to our family. It brings some isolation, and that isolation is kind of hard to deal with because there's we have mental health issues at home. We have drug addiction issues at home and just other underlying issues that we deal with in this isolation brings a lot of overwhelming emotions that we have to deal with being stuck at home. So today I wanted to reflect a little bit on what we can do to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. So during COVID-19 and the stress that it brings, we need to find healthy ways to cope with the isolation and uncertainty. So this is a time when we need to reflect on what we can be doing differently because we know COVID-19 is Mother Nature's wake-up call. So this is related to climate change. As the permafrost continues to melt, It's going to unleash some more diseases. And so COVID-19 is just maybe the beginning of it all. So we want to make sure that we're ready for the future. So I think part of understanding the isolation and what we can do to stay healthy is probably going to be one of the best ways that we could survive these trying times. So I wanted to share with people, if you're feeling isolated and cooped up in your house and just overwhelmed with your mind in a rat race and all this, what's going to happen next, we need to let go of that every now and then because it's not healthy for us and it brings on a lot of health conditions that we may not see. You know, we can maybe feel them sometimes, but we don't always get to see them. So spending time in the forest, just being outside, can lead to significant health benefits. The studies have shown that walking in the woods can improve blood pressure, boost mental health, and decrease cancer risk and things like that. So spending time forest bathing can improve our health. So especially in the mental health part of this issue, you know, COVID-19, because, again, we're not thinking about later. We're thinking about surviving today. And sometimes surviving today just means taking care of your mental health. So some of the things I recommend is maybe getting outside and in gardening, because gardening can feed more than a table. It actually feeds the soul. And if you think about food sovereignty and what that, you know, brings to us, it's the right for people to have healthy and culturally appropriate food produced through, you know, a more sustainable way. And it's our right to protect our food and our, you know, culturally speaking. And so I think we have to start talking about food sovereignty more. And I think this is a time when a lot of people are talking about that. So, yeah, figure out what you like to eat and make sure that it's packed with all the good stuff and feed your soul and feed your body. And then when you're in the garden, it also brings sunshine, and the melatonin is really, really good for us too. So it's a good way to absorb what Mother Nature gives us. And it's also a great way to spend outside and free your mind. I used to garden with my grandma. My grandma's gone now, but it brings me back to my grandma. And it feels like, in a way, she's still taking care of me and she's still with me. So it's my grandma's space out in the garden. I have a strawberry patch and a couple gardens out there. And then it also could bring community together. So if we think about community, we all like to gather around food, especially good food. So I encourage people to grow those gardens, make this awesome salad, and share it with your friends and your family, explore new recipes, and get creative with what Mother Nature can give us. And just being outdoors, too, it can rejuvenate our soul, being in the woods. So yesterday was a little, we had a little hardship in the home, and I felt a little overwhelmed, and I needed a way to let it go in a healthy way. So right now I'm working on this all-natural fish trap. And it's actually a basket made out of some willows. And so when I go into the woods, I actually lose my mind and I find my soul. So it's a way to just let go of the rat race that's occurring in your mind. And I think we can all relate to that right now.
Yeah, I like that, losing my mind and finding my soul. I'm going to make T-shirts out of that, that
right.
quote.
It's for real, Robert.
I like it.
People forget what's out there, and they think our lives are all economy and being indoors and all this technical stuff. And we forgot, you know, what Mother Nature can give to us. And when we're out there, we get good exercise and obviously some fresh air. And then we get to explore and connect to our surroundings. And yesterday when I was outside, I was like, you know, a good sound or a good song would be good right now. And I was like, nope, the birds sound better. And so, yeah, it's just a good way to, get out there and explore. And it'll remind you where you come from. We have to remember we are nature. And once we connect to nature, we feel much better. It doesn't feel like we're so isolated. It reminds us of the good things out there. And there's a lot of good things out there. And one of the stories I wanted to share is back to my gardening is a good friend of mine through the Leech Lake Tribal College. Her name was Lolly. And one day she gives me this little red piece of cloth, and it's got a yarn tied around it. And I open it, and it's three kernels of corn. And I said, what am I supposed to do with this? And she says, you need to plant the corn. And right away, I'm thinking to myself, three kernels of corn, how am I going to feed my family? So then I ask her for more corn. And she says, Nancy, you take the corn and you grow it, but you don't eat it. You dry your seeds for next year. So this year I have over 200 corn kernels, and now I'm growing blue corn.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just part of our food sovereignty. And when we have those gifts like that, you want to make sure you share it to the next person. So I'm going to make the little red cloth. I'll probably give about five because I have so much. And I want to share that gift of food. And it's my way of taking care of the next person, like Lolly took care of us. She said, here's my gift to you. It seems small, but I found out researching blue corn, it's just as powerful as blueberries. And it's good food.
Wow.
And it's fun. Yeah. So I encourage people during these times right now to stop, not pay attention to news, put your phone down, shut it off. I shut it off, Robert. You see me on Facebook. I'm powering down, mm-hmm. and I have to power down because we've become so used to just grabbing our phone. We have a minute of boredom, or we're thinking so hard, I got to know what's going on. So you grab your phone, and then you get stuck into that ugliness of what's out there, and it just draws you right in, and it's not like you're not even living in your space and your surroundings anymore. You're actually funneled into your phone, and you're into that ugliness, and then you forget the good things around you. And I'm telling everyone today that being outside is going to help deal with some of the pain that we experience in our everyday lives. It's going to help us cope with the stress, and it actually helps reduce our heart rate and things like that. So we really need to step back and take care of ourselves first, and this is something that I have to get better at myself. And because, you know, we're all guilty of tripping up every now and then in life, but then I have to stop and think, all right, Nancy, there's better things to do right now. Let it go and go find yourself. And so to me, it's a good way to go find myself and forget what's going on out there. And then when I'm out there thinking about these things, I think about positive things and things I can do to help change what we're doing now, because COVID-19 is a wake-up call. We do need to change our lifestyles, our mindset, and we need to get back to community. And community is good food. It's getting outside, taking walks together, and sharing things you might know. So I want to share the video on my fish basket when I get to weaving it. And it's like, hey, you can do this too. We're all capable. We just need to slow down and take care of ourselves first.
Thank you.
That's why the outdoors are great.
Thank you so much, Nancy Bolio of the Midgey 350. Thank you again for those words. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
My name's Amron from the Ho-Chunk Nation. You're listening to AM950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Special report, coronavirus update. New York remains the epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak in the U.S. Correspondent Christina Alessi says the impact of the disease remains staggering.
The way that Andrew Cuomo, the New York governor, frames this is that New York can control the beast because hospitalization we've seen stabilize, ICU admissions are stabilizing as well. But 2,000 people in New York State are still walking into hospitals around the state every day, and the number of deaths still refuses to come down.
Beaches in Jacksonville, Florida have reopened with limited hours and social distancing being reinforced. This resident is happy about the easing of restrictions.
Yoo-hoo! Fabulous. We all live on it, and so it's been torture to be looking at it and not to be able to be out here.
There are now more than 715,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the U.S. I'm Ann Cates. States are working on plans to get their economies up and running at some point.
As governors and mayors start thinking about reopening businesses, Caitlin Rivers of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security is helping them make the best decisions to keep their citizens safe.
We will all continue to use great hand hygiene. We will all need to continue wiping down high-touch surfaces like the handlebars at the grocery store. We'll all be wearing non-medical fabric face masks.
The epidemiologist said different regions have different priorities, but they could all take safety measures while enabling varying amounts of economic activity to resume.
What is the general probability of transmission in different settings, and to what degree can that risk be lowered through mitigation measures?
Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
The U.S.-Canadian border will remain closed to non-essential travel for another 30 days. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the ongoing shutdown will keep people on both sides of the border safe during the COVID-19 outbreak. I'm Ann Cates.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus free access to specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here. Thanks for keeping your radio tuned to AM 950. This is a challenging time for everyone, including us here at the radio station. To make sure AM 950 keeps broadcasting, we need your help. Head over to AM 950 Radio and sign up to support AM 950 with however much you can. And Brett and I will personally be thanking listeners who contribute on our shows. Head over to AM950Radio.com. That's AM950Radio.com and declare, yes, I want to support AM 950. From everyone at AM 950 and from me personally, thank you very much. And thanks for listening to the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. We appreciate you listening to AM 950 and promoting Minnesota's only progressive talk station. We also want to remind you how important it is to support our advertisers amid the coronavirus outbreak. The advertisements you hear on AM 950 are what allows us to stay on the airwaves and bring you the best in progressive talk radio. We're not funded through some giant parent company. We're an independent, locally owned business that relies on the local advertisers you hear. Unfortunately, many of those advertisers are going to be hit hard by the coronavirus closures. So please, support our advertisers in any way that you can. Whether that's ordering some delicious takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or even just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. We know times are tough, so even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way to help. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be mostly sunny, the high near 62. Well, tonight's mostly cloudy, low around 34. Tomorrow, sunny, the high near 51. Monday, partly sunny, the high near 60. And Tuesday, sunny, the high near 55. With the state closing bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. They're all locally owned, so the money you spend stays local and helps them keep their doors open. Restaurants with takeout include Great Wall Restaurant, Cafe Latte, Park Tavern, and more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, give me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakan Jahade. Here, I'm here with Wendy, and I want to introduce her. Wendy's our animal advocate here, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. She's been a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Please tell us your name, Wendy, and what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. Oh, yeah. Yep. So thank you, as always. And I could tell you that I'm not going to be talking about coronavirus, COVID-19. I can't even.
It's too late. You just did.
I can't think about it anymore. I really can't. What I'm going to say is a couple of weeks, when the virus first came out, people were posting pictures on Facebook about animals coming into places where humans weren't anymore. And it all turned out to be fake pictures. Like they showed like swans in the fountains of Italy. But now I think people were just anticipating that that was going to happen. And now I'm seeing pictures all over the place about like animals, you know, being able to roam free and be
well. Como Zoo, which we never go to, they're roaming the penguins free there, right?
They put the penguins in the observatory. Is that what it's called? Where all the flowers are and let them kind of walk around. But anyway, that's not even what I wanted to talk about today.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
What I want to talk about is there are whistleblowers at the wildlife services. The USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, admits to killing over 1 million wild animals per year to protect livestock. And if we ever wonder why we're losing our wildlife, the government is killing them, killing cougars, bobcats, bears, wolves, coyotes, and it's to protect cows, pigs, and chickens. And this has been going on for a really long time, and there's been quite a few agents that works for the wildlife services, and they're coming forward and telling people this. And according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's own records, it has killed over 34 million animals in the last decade alone. Most of these animals...
What?
Yeah.
34 what?
Million animals in the last decade. And I have it broken down on how many... and which kind of animal they're killing. I'm going to get to that in just a second because it's astonishing. Most of these animals were native wild animals, and the rest were accidentally killed, and most of them were domestic animals. So let's just go through these animals that the Wildlife Service is killing. And before I even get to that, the reason why they're killing it is, of course, livestock protection is the primary cause of them killing it. But also the Wildlife Services is also killing animals from eating flowers, people who leave pet food out and the animals come and eat the pet food, digging in gardens, frightening people, and other concerns that could easily be addressed using nonviolent methods.
So somebody's eating my flowers, I call the USDA and they go and blow them away? Is that what we're talking about?
Pretty much. Pretty much. And I could just imagine the people who work for these services, are the Trump supporters that were in front of Wall's governor's house. I could just like picture them. I'm sorry, I had to mention that. But anyway, let's look. I have a number of the animals. The figures include, are you interested in knowing? Okay, so in 2017 alone, this department killed 319 mountain lions, 357 gray wolves, 552 black bears, 1,001 bobcats, 3,827 foxes, listen to this number, 69,041 coyotes, 15,933 prairie dogs, but I guess they dig in the gardens, right, and they make a mess, 575 river otters, 23,646 beavers, and this number is the biggest one of all, 624,845 red-winged blackbirds.
What?
I guess they eat the flowers or seeds. I don't know. Why would they kill that many blackbirds? But anyway, all of these animals are being killed because they're actually nuisances, right? They're being a nuisance and they're being killed by the USDA Wildlife Services, which, by the way, is run by the federal government and it's taxpayer funded. So your tax
dollars are going towards blowing away a red-tailed blackbird
and prairie dogs. But do you remember when we had our boat at the marina in Stillwater and we would go in and out drive and I saw all those traps around the property and they were trying to, what was that, groundhogs?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the people who own the marina lands over there, the property, had all these prairie dog traps and they were trying to kill the prairie dogs because the owner said, well, they make a mess, they make bumps in the grass, they make it look ugly.
Yeah, make it hard to cut the grass because there's little bumps.
So let's kill a bunch of animals because it's hard to cut the grass.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a big thing and I got very upset about it and we left that marina because of that reason.
I support you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I do. Here's a quote. The war on wildlife can't be tolerated anymore. Attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity, Colette Adkins, told Newsweek, this idea of killing wildlife anytime there's a conflict is just barbaric. And we really need to get away from this type of mentality. And, you know, the cattle, right? The ag, they have such big lobbying power and they have lots and lots of money and they'll do anything to sell cows to be slaughtered so you could eat the meat. And they take a lot of land and we have to cut down a bunch of trees and so that the animals can graze so that we can eat them and get heart disease and then get our hearts cracked open to get the animal fat out.
We'll get our ribs cracked open, too. Hey, so we should be, instead of feeding these animals, we should be feeding people.
Right. We should be feeding people healthy food so that we don't have our health care system overwhelmed with heart disease, diabetes,
right.
Obesity.
Right. So my point is, instead of feeding these animals that are in captivity, these cows, these pigs, we should be feeding people across the world and change, not only change what the farmers are making and make it support them into growing food other than grain for pigs and cows.
Mm-hmm. Right. We could feed the whole world with the grain that we use to feed these animals. You're absolutely right. If that's your point.
Yeah, it was. I thought you could read my mind. What happened?
I know. But anyway, this really is upsetting, and I just wanted everybody who pays taxes to know that this is where their money's going. Let's see. The government organization is suing the federal government over its wildlife service program. So there are people who are out there who are fighting for this, who want this to stop, and who don't think that this should be done. And by the way they kill these animals is, I'm going to find it here. They have a list, but it's like trapping, snares, body traps, cyanide bombs, going after them in helicopters and small planes from the air and shooting them from the air. It's really just very barbaric.
Well, and not only that, you know, and again, we're a Native American show. So not only that, they're not eating them or using any of this. They're just blowing them away like
they're being attacked. Absolutely.
By a prairie dog.
Absolutely. Putting them in a pile and letting them rot. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's not our way, and that's barbaric, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Native American way is to eat the animal and use its
prey
bones.
Over the animal. Pray over the animal and thank the Creator for this gift and the soul of the animal, and not kill 10 of them.
Only take what you need. Only take what you need.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's really sad, and I'm. It's upset about it, but anyway.
But it's interesting too, because I think a lot of the backlash of people getting fired and people in the know from this administration are going to have a heck of a lot of good books to write, because this has just been it's just beyond words what's been happening to this this country.
Absolutely. You know, in this article, too, they have a whole list of animals that they've killed by mistake. You know, they're just, you know, innocent bystanders that get trapped and killed by accident. Deer, mule, river otters, family pets.
Yeah.
Golden eagles.
Yeah.
Bald eagles.
Yep. And they just throw them in a pile. They don't do anything with them. So, Wendy, thank you again for bringing this up and bringing this on our show. This information that we need to know and fight the people that are doing this keep an eye out for our sacred animals like you do. I really appreciate this, especially this one.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Wendy Pilot. We'll be right back after this short break.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this address to receive 1 hour of free service.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads,
local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options,
beer and wine,
community performance room,
great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. We're here, just chilling out here, and I'm glad my friend Jamie Edwards can come on this week. Jamie's a government affair with Mille Lacs Land Band of Ojibwe. Thank you for being on Native Roots Radio, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, Robert.
Yeah, cool.
What chunk name there?
Yeah, Wakunjahade. Yeah, Ahu.
Ah, means what does that mean, brother?
Distant thunder.
Distant thunder.
Yeah, hey. I like it.
I like it too.
Hey, cool.
Zungigabo and Dishnikov. That's my Ojibwe name.
And what's that mean?
It means strong standing.
Oh, that is a good one. Definitely you.
That's kind of fluid strength, though. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the definition. At least as it was explained to me by my namesake.
That's so cool. Yeah. Hey.
Going on to the other side now. So. Yeah. How you doing, brother?
Yeah.
Hanging in there?
Yesterday was a hard one with the protest around the governor's mansion. I kind of shouldn't have watched that, and I did. And to see what's happening with our white brothers and sisters, not wearing masks and trying to, support Trump.
I would agree with you.
And it was a little scary too. I'm old now, so I can't really go toe to toe with young people anymore, physically.
Sure.
And there were some bad boys there and they were proud. And that's just, we all know that's just an offshoot of the Klan. So, it was a little unnerving for me.
Disheartening there. I definitely, I got a chance to see a tweet on that, and they posted a photo. And, at this time, and again, this is at the governor's residence, right, where folks who want the governor to open up the state from an economic standpoint and suspend his stay-at-home order, which is the stay-at-home order is, geared at the safety and public health of the citizens of the state, which, he's following all of the recommendations that are coming down from the CDC and the Minnesota Department of Health. So it really doesn't have that as an option. So it was pretty disturbing to see that there was no social distancing practicing that was happening. And, folks were pretty much acting as if, the pandemic that we're all dealing with right now is not a reality. So that was very sad.
Yeah, and then I also saw that the 45 tweeted about that in support with these people. And there's a lot of code talking, a lot of, I saw a lot of Unicorn Riot had it the whole 2 hours. And shoot, they had almost 500,000 people watching this live. And one of the things
Wow. You
saw a lot of the upside down okay sign, which is just a, white power sign and, things like that. And I wonder where these people really live. Do they live in Minnesota or do they live next door? So that's even the more frightening question.
Stearns County, my friend. Don't want to take any shots at Stearns County, but I've heard things in the past as it relates to the Klan's presence or, again, it's just about ignorance at the end of the day. When you have, world-renowned, leaders of infectious medicine like Dr. Fauci, who is really trying to, bring sensibility to this issue and get the citizenry of the country to recognize how important it is and how dangerous this virus is, so how important it is to stay at home and distance and take the recommendations that are being brought forward. And you have folks that, buy into a narrative of diminishing the reality of this and the danger of this is, know, again, we're over. We again in the U.S. we have the more we have the most cases, right? By far, not even comparable. You know, at this point, we don't even have a good picture of how many people are totally are affected at this point. I think we just have a fraction of that, even with the cases that have been identified. And over 20,000 Americans have already died, right? So, mm-hmm. or 20,000, are those the worldwide numbers, actually? I think those are the United States.
Yeah, because
yeah, over 20,000.
It's creeping up to how many people were died in the Vietnam War, which was over roughly 50,000. So we're heading towards that number.
And there's really not much in as it, you know, there's no vaccine. You know, we're months away from that, maybe a year. So the fact that folks, you know, take it upon themselves to, you know, attack, you know, the governor of Minnesota, that has been really a trendsetter in many respects and is doing the right thing. And, you know, and has that experience, you know, having been a former congressman and, of course, the leadership of Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and how she's ensuring that tribal communities are informed, their daily calls happening with tribal leaders and others. And so, anyway, for folks to completely discount that and rally, you know, they're all going to get, you know, I'm not going to say they're all going to get COVID. I would not want to. I wouldn't wish that on anybody because people are dying. You know, Carl Anthony Towns, one of the Timberwolves players, I'm a huge basketball fan. His mother died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing does not discriminate in terms of
the attorney general's mother passed away. Did you know that? Keith Ellison's mother passed away from it?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like 2 days ago.
Wow, I did not hear about that. Well, you know, you know, RIP for Attorney General Keith Ellison's mother passing. Sorry to hear about that. I've had a chance to meet some of his family members. He's a good guy. I hope he is doing well, and my condolences to the AG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know you have your nose to the grindstone, and you're on a lot of calls, as you were just mentioning. What's some of the striking calls you've been on? What can you tell our audience what you've heard and what's going on in Indian country, so to speak?
Well, right now, you know, like every other state government that are trying to address this pandemic, you know, in an Indian country where, you know, our communities, as we've seen what's happened in the Navajo territory and a couple of Pueblos down in New Mexico, you know, when this gets into, you know, our communities, it has the potential of spreading like a wildfire. So, you know, communities in the state, Mille Lacs included, and, you know, all the tribal leaders, 11 fairly recognized tribes in the state are communicating with each other on a regular, sharing, you know, advice, technical advice, trying to navigate through these various, you know, funding threads that have been made available, some specific to tribal communities, whether it was the, you know, $1 million per tribal community that came through from the state. And, you know, that was a positive effort that, you know, it was easy to navigate. They created a streamlined process for tribal governments to access those resources. And then, of course, with the $2 trillion package that was relief package that was passed by the Congress, there was a $8 billion set aside for tribal governments to access. And there's been a little controversy about that recently with the Alaska Native Corporation seeking to access a large portion of that. And so there are Indian law practitioners and others who are, you know, advocating for, you know, trying to either change that legislatively or definitely making sure in the next round of funding that's going to be made available to tribes, because I think that's going to be happening at the federal level as they're putting together those packages, that there's correction and change in the legislative language. So those Alaska Native corporations, which are double dipping and of course the head of the BIA, Tara Sweeney, has been coming under fire because she was a lobbyist for some of those Alaska Native corporations. And then she's Alaska Native herself. And, you know, but to have half of that fund potentially going to Alaska Native corporations is a serious infraction and a, you know, on some levels unconscionable. And I hope they get that figured out and definitely eliminate, you know, that weird exception in the next round of their packages that they're putting together for relief.
Yeah, I mean, I got to stay vigilant and keep an eye on what's going on, because this is when these bridges to nowhere get built, and we need to, like, keep an eye on it. I really appreciate you doing what you do for Indian Country. We're with Jamie Edwards, Government Affairs for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, and I really appreciate you coming on, and you need to stay safe, learn that roadcaster, and keep on doing what you're doing. Yeah. So thank you so much for being on, Jamie.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it. Take care, Robert.
Oh, you too. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian Country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian Country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be mostly sunny, with a high near 62. Well, tonight's mostly cloudy, low around 34. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high near 51. Monday, partly sunny, with a high near 60. And Tuesday, sunny, with a high near 55. Thank you for all of the listeners that have supported by becoming members. Thank you for all the kind notes, calls, and comments. Our community of listeners is inspiring to all of us at AM950. We are committed to getting through this and supporting our community. To see how you can help, go to AM950radio.com.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hare. And you all know my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. So I want to welcome you all back. We have a guest here with which I've known for a few years, and her name's Nicole Martin Rogers, and she's a senior research manager at the Wilder Research Center. And I want to welcome you to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Thanks for having me.
So we're looking at some numbers here. Let's talk about that. What is going on? And we want to talk specifically about homelessness in Minnesota and the American Indian reservations.
Yeah, Wilder Research is just released a study this week, the 2018 Reservation Homeless Study. And this is a study that we do every 3 years alongside the statewide homeless study. And the reservation study is conducted in partnership with six of Minnesota's American Indian reservations. It's six of the seven Northern Ojibwe tribes and the tribes that make up the vast majority of the American Indian reservation population in the state, and certainly those who might experience homelessness. And so this study represents a survey with over 1,200 individuals who we talk to directly using volunteers, including staff of the tribes and staff from Wilder Research in the state, different state agencies. And we interviewed these folks to learn more about their experiences and their needs related to housing and how they became homeless in the first place.
Yeah, and I see that there's a statistic, too, with homeless and near homeless. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the reservation study is a little bit different than our statewide study because we include both individuals who meet the federal definition of homelessness as well as those who are near homeless. And so to meet the federal definition of homelessness, you actually have to be staying somewhere that's not meant for human habitation, like in an encampment or a fish house or a car or something like that, or living in a shelter. And some folks who are staying doubled up temporarily with others who are living in really precarious or substandard conditions would also meet that definition for literal homelessness. And then the other half of people who we talk to are near homeless, meaning that they're living in pretty precarious situations, doubled up with other families. Some of these folks on reservations are living with two or three families in a single trailer home, and the trailer home may not have running water or heat or a flush toilet. And when you think about, especially now with the COVID pandemic, and all the stay-at-home orders and the instructions to social distance and wash your hands all the time and stuff, and how really challenging or impossible that would be for the folks that are in these situations. So the study and the report that we just released talks about people that are in both of those circumstances.
So could you break down possibly the numbers? I know we have the highest amount is adults, 25 to 54. We also have children, which is way up there. And this one's screaming at me, too, not only the youth, and then it goes down to elders. But elders, why aren't we taking care of our elders? That's hard for me to see.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine the conditions of that we'd have to get to where an elder would be homeless, but it's true that there are elders, both on reservation and off reservation, who are living in either near homeless or homeless conditions. And in the study that we did, just about half of the total number of people that we counted who were experiencing homelessness on the day of the study are either children, youth, or elders. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of vulnerable folks among the people who are experiencing homelessness on reservations. We also have a lot of individuals in this population who have serious chronic health conditions, severe and persistent mental illness, and or substance use problems, or a combination of all three. Again, a really vulnerable population that has a high need.
Yeah, I just I'm just kind of blown away. So what, as a Wilder Research Center, what do they do with these numbers, and what do these numbers mean? I know what they mean to us, but what are they going to mean to the people that you send them on to?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking that question, because this study is really important to us, and the fact that we really take data sovereignty really seriously with this study. And we work in close partnership with the Minnesota Tribal Housing Collaborative, which has representatives from each of the participating tribes. And they actually achieve, or I should say, obtain tribal council resolutions from each of the tribes to participate in this study. And then what we commit back to these tribes is that, and the state is also part of this, because the state puts in a lot of funding into the study, and then they give us the right to work with the tribes in this way, is we help the tribes to do really good data collection and learn more about this population through this survey. And we know this is a really important survey, because the federal government has contacted us, and we participated on webinars, and they told us that there's no other state in the country that does a study like this about homelessness on Indian reservations. So this data is really one of a kind, and no other state has it. But then what we do with the data is we produce this report, which we just released this week, and that aggregates the data from all the tribes. They've given us permission to do that. And as of now, that's the only way that Wilder ever uses the data or has permission to use the data from the tribes. If they ask us, or we ask them to use it in a different way, like, for example, I'm working on the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, and we might want to use some of the data from this study for that purpose as well. And we ask the tribes, can we do that? And then they tell us yes or no. Otherwise, the tribes use the data for their own purposes. So they have plans to end long-term homelessness. They use these data to help them evaluate how they're doing. They also use the data to help communicate to their tribal leadership and funders and state agencies about the needs for different things. Many of the tribes have gotten access to funding to be able to build different types of shelters for tribal members on reservation as a result of using the data from previous rounds of this study to, again, just demonstrate the need for the funding. So we really try to produce really good data and then let the tribes take the lead on how they want to use it to communicate about their needs and their choices as sovereign nations about how they're going to serve their people.
So how many people were in the survey? I'm sorry, I didn't find that. How many people
were? Yeah, so we surveyed about 1,200 people across the reservations, and we also know that they had other people that were traveling with them or staying with them, like children or a spouse or partner, and so a total of 2,315 people were counted across the 6 reservations.
Wow. So in the last minute here, what can we do, and how can we support your work, and how can we support homeless people, and especially in the Native community?
Yeah. Well, if you want to learn more about this study or the research that we've done, the statewide homeless study, or more about the reservation study, you can go to mnhomeless.org, which is the website where we publish all of the reports and information about this study. The thing that I would say is most important right now is affordable housing. So the very most common reason why these respondents became homeless, and the most common reason or barrier for them to obtain housing is that they can't afford the housing. And we have a kind of misperception, I think, in mainstream society that a lot of American Indians are homeless because of substance use. And actually only 15% of the people who did our study said that that was a reason that was preventing them from getting housing. Whereas many, many more people talk about barriers such as not being able to afford housing. So we can advocate in our own communities and at state and federal policy levels for more affordable housing and a better balance between access to living wage jobs in rural areas so that people can afford to stay in rural areas and pay for the rent in the rural areas where they live, including reservations. So that would be what I would say would be the single most important finding or recommendation if the average person could take away from this, is that It's not just the Twin Cities where we need more affordable housing. It's true across the state and on Indian reservations that share geography with Minnesota as well.
Thank you so much for being on our show. This was Nicole Martin Rogers, Senior Research Manager at the Wilder Research Foundation. Thank you again for being on our show and giving us this information.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wickham Jahare. And, you know, we have this awesome segment. Uncle Curtis is back. And a matter of fact, I just want to tell everybody that Uncle Curtis named me, and I really appreciate that. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Uncle Curtis.
Oh, Peter Gigichuske. My native name is Moske Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized taxpaying name is Curtis West, and I always like to say hello to my beautiful wife Kim, my baby girl, I love you. And we always like to start this off with the I like to say aho to all my family, relatives, and friends, and four directions. We pray all is well. You know, we say stay safe and blessed. And my church guy cuts me loose on a few things with the birthdays, events, and shout outs and stuff, you know, with us being on lockdown with this virus. So there isn't too many events, but what we do know is that I'm gonna give you some birthdays and some elder birthdays and some serious shout outs today. So I'm gonna start off with the birthdays. Happy belated birthday to a relative of our wife, Marisa White Eagle's wife, Ann. So I'm gonna say happy birthday to her. And we got one this one person that tunes into Robert's show. She's all the way from Big Fork, Montana. Her name is Candy Willow. So we're going to say happy birthday to her. And there's a lady that goes by the name of Robbinsdale American Indian Education. And Marlene, a friend of hers, they say that she works very hard. And it's her birthday today. So we want to say happy birthday to her. And our elders out there that we're going to shout out to, because there's a couple people a few minutes older than me, a couple days older, but they're my elders, and we got to show them much love and pray they're safe. But I want to give a shout out to Nan White Eagle and happy birthday. And a friend of ours, too, that's tuning in, and he always listens to Robert. He likes Robert's radio voice. And, we call him Waboos. His name's Jerry Augie Auganash. He's from the Red Lake Nation, and he's also known as Tiger Plywood. He's probably out on the link today now that our great governor, Walls, opened up the courses. So happy birthday, Augie.
And he's a great photographer, too.
Oh, my goodness, man. Don't rub it in on him, man. Don't get his head any bigger than it already is. But Jerry is an awesome photographer, award winner. And so we're going to say down in God's country in Wisconsin, it's Gloria White Thunder, Marlon Curtis White Wing, and a special shout out for me and Tushke's Choka, Wilford Cleveland. So happy birthday to you, Choka. And another one down there is a Dega of ours. He came up and visited us at our branch office. His name's Rory Carl Greengrass. So happy birthday, Dega. And the one and famous one down there, too, is his name is Daniel Whitehorse. So we're going to say happy birthday to there, to you all, you guys. And my shout-outs here, I'm going to give a thank you to my Tushke, my adopted Tushke, the great sheriff from Hennepin County, Hutch. And he was out in, I believe it was Maple Grove, and they did a fundraiser out there for all them great truckers that are trying to bring our groceries and our toilet paper to us. And they're out there and working their tails off. But Hutch did a thing out there, and they called it Tacos for Truckers. So I want to say Pinagigi for all you sheriffs and police that turned out to help out. And the other thing I would like to say is, too, I want to say Pinagigi to all the doctors, nurses, first responders, the sheriffs, the police, you know, we pray that you stay safe and blessed. Pinagigi for your service out there at this crazy time we're in, you know. So another thing I want to mention, it's not really a shout-out, but just to remember, you know, we tried, trying to get rid of this virus. So I'd ask everybody to continue, man, keep that social distance when possible out there. If you're going to can't social distance, please wear a mask, wash your hands, you know, and so here's another reminder, too. It says that please, to all you Wangsheeks, that natives out there, well, not just Minnesota natives, whoever's listening out there, please fill out that census on 2020 because they're counting our heads, and it's a lot of native programs that count on that funding. So if they don't know how many Indians are out there, they don't know how much money we're going to get. And so right. The other thing that the other thing, too, Tushke, is that another reminder to the per cap for May, they say will be coming in, you know, but you'll get that May. But and anybody that tries to take an advance, you know, they get that per cap every 3 months or so. But they said that once they get that May per cap, you can't take an advance on your August PC. So they're going to that shut down until further notice, you know. And other thing I'd like to it's not really a shout-out, but there's this Native woman, Tivaz LeDuc from Minneapolis. She's in the process of making Native-designed safety masks for you, you know. So her contact, if you need anything, just get a hold of me on my my profile, and I'll get you all the information, prices, and how to deliver it and how to pay for it. So. Other thing, Tushke is going to bring this up too later on, is that we got a Ho-Chunk woman running for Congress, you know, so that's she's very, what I heard, she's very qualified, and so get your vote out for Wisconsin. And she's going to be on Tushke's symposium tomorrow, so
yeah,
tune in and listen to her like that, you know, and I want to give another sad news. This real good friend of mine, my fishing buddy and this and that, he walked on yesterday in Texas. Yeah, he was a great, good friend of mine. So I just want to say Godspeed to you, Jesse, and Pinagigi, being for the friend and dad you were. So that's what I wanted to pass on to people, because I got a lot of friends from the West Side that listen to Robert's show. So they're listening today. So mm-hmm. That's but I don't want to say that much.
Hey, Choka, can I just talk about the We're Still Here Symposium, which is sponsored by Native Roots Radio, also American Indian Movement St. Paul. And this week it's going to be on AM 950 also. They'll be playing it 2 hours later from 10 to 12 on AM 950. And also it's live on Facebook. And we're going to have who you just talked about, our Ho-Chunk sister, Trisha Zunker. And we're also going to have Sandy Whitehawk as our special guest. And Ruth Buffalo is featuring Amber Torres, who's a chairperson down in Arizona, Winona LaDuke, Barry Han, Julian Rodriguez, who's American Indian Movement San Diego, Mary Kunish Podine, S.A. Lawrence, and many, many others. So drop in, check it out. It's going to be Zoom via Facebook Live and then on AM 950 at from 10 to 12 on Sunday night.
Wow, that's a star-studded group there, Chuske. Holy smokes.
Yeah, it is. Hey, do you, to end this up, do you have any Native wisdom or Gaga wisdom?
Yeah, I got this. I got this guy sent me this, and I really, man, I felt like this was the one I wanted to say today. So he said to me, as long as Creator keeps waking you, he is not done with you yet.
Good one. Good words. Thank you, Pini Gigi, for all you do, Uncle Curtis, and bringing up these updates and great shout-outs and birthday wishes.
Oh, stay safe and blessed.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
We are awake.